Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now.
You know what it pays to be with somebody who's done this and been doing
it. I didn't know about no eyelashes. See, you learn something new every single day, Brains, here on the Edge. We are here with my guest, the beautiful Lisa Yvette Jones. What's going on, Queen? She is the founder of Eye Care Leadership. We want to talk a little bit about what is Eye Care Leadership. What does that mean? How are we shaping that? You are a dynamic speaker. You've been on so many stages. I've been watching you and following you. And Brains, if you haven't seen her, you haven't been online, okay? You work with the great Les Brown. Is that your mentor, one of your mentors?
He really is. And just started back yesterday being my mentor again for the next 6-7 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I've been in the room with him a few times.
Oh,
and he is, and I'm telling you, he is a warrior. He has really overcome so much and had so much to pour into individuals.
Yes. So I would say he's forever my mentor, but he's back being my coach again, you know, as of last night.
Okay. All right. Because we all do some coaching, and that's what you're doing. You're doing some coaching too. But didn't you write a book?
I did. You know, I'm part of anthologies. Okay. So I have three anthologies. One is, the first one was Fearless Women Rock, Courageous Women Finding Strength During Their Storm. Mm. And it was compiled by Dr. Missy Johnson. And she came together with 12 other women, including herself. And we just wrote about our stories. And mine is From Cancer to Comeback, How My Faith Made Me Whole.
You had cancer?
Yes, stage 3 cervical cancer.
Ouch!
2009, I was diagnosed and had not one symptom. So when I tell you that cervical cancer is the blood pressure, that there is no symptoms for it, you know, it is that number one killer, could be a number one killer with women who are going through it, because not every woman will have symptoms. I received 2 separate pathological reports, not them going by one other reports, but 2 separate pathological reports that came back and said the same thing. Papillary serous carcinoma of the cervix is serious, it's vicious. It, if you don't have surgery within 6, I would say at least 7 days, then we're not going to even open you up, because it's going to start feeding on your internal organs and you're not going to make it. But how many of you know I went to my chief physician?
What? Do you hear me?
You went to
the architect, okay?
Yes. The doctors gave me my diagnosis, but I trusted God for my prognosis. Mm. Until he told me I should live and not die. And here I am. I didn't have that surgery in 7 days as they wanted. I had it a month and a half later. And here I am today, 13 years later.
Wow.
And forever, until it's really time.
So after your prognosis and after your surgery, you know, let's dial back a little bit. When you got the diagnosis, you was like, this can't be real. You're not talking to me. You know, the C word. I don't know what you're talking about. So after you come out of the fog and you have the surgery and you look at yourself renewed, restored, what did you say to yourself?
I then knew that everything that I had been telling other people about trusting God, about believing that, you know, you are healed and made whole, and that we just truly have to trust it. Because it's one thing when you're telling people that, I'm sorry, I'm fiddling with my necklace.
That's
one thing when you're telling people that, but it's another thing when you have to live it and live your own words. So in coming out of it, I then had such a confidence in the word. I had such a confidence in healing and wholeness. I had such a confidence in trusting, you know, that I knew that now when I went forth and I was ministering to women and telling them, you know, you really have to put your faith and trust in God if you're a true believer. And if you do that, you know what? I do believe that you are going to come out on the other side just like I did.
I know. And so but Lisa Yvette, now, you know, let's keep it 500. Okay.
Okay.
500. I'm beyond 100. Okay. 500. You can't get nothing with 100 no more.
You can't. Okay.
But real talk. Okay. So I understand all of that because I'm a believer. Like I told you at the beginning of this conversation, God showed up in a mighty way. Today I was in tears in a public place. Wow. And it was so powerful. It was so powerful.
I talked about it,
but I'll tell you about that later. But what do we say to the person that is going to make the transition? How are we preparing their hearts? How are we preparing them for the inevitable? Because it is a transition. We're maybe not all going to survive. We're not all meant to survive. We're organic. We're all going to expire. Let's just know that. But what do we say to that person that's struggling right now? Because I want to encourage them as well.
I would tell that person to see yourself on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. That was the one thing that kept me. I said, you know what? I am going to go through. Going through is still movement. It doesn't mean I'm stuck or have stopped. So I usually tell people who are in a stuck state, can you just take a moment to see yourself on the other side of this? What would that look like for you? And then I said, you may have lost your hair. What will that mean for you? You may have lost your eyelashes, your eyebrows. What will that mean for you? You may be weak and it may take you a moment to get your taste buds back, but what will they look like? What would that look like for you? And some people, they just stop. And then they'll say, I'm still living though. If you take me on the other side of this, I see myself living. So then I said, from that moment on, then start thinking of the things you want to do on the other side of this. Because then for you now, it's not over. And you fight with everything you have in you. I fought. And let me tell you, it wasn't enough for me to have my faith. I fought. I fought through this. And let me tell you why. There were days when it was so difficult for me to even get out of the bed that I would have to pray, Lord, can you just help me swing one leg over, then swing the other one over. Now, can I sit up? Once I sat up, then I said, okay, can you give me the strength to just stand up and make it to the bathroom that's 10 steps away? And then once I got there, it was like, now I just need the strength to sit down. It was one step after another. Then I said, wait a minute. One day I said, this will not have me. The pain was excruciating. And I then said, okay, once I get in that shower and I put on my clothes, I'm going to walk to my front door. I'm going to walk down my walkway. I started talking to myself and telling myself, you are going to do this. And before I knew it, for every talk, I took a step. For every encouragement, I had to take a step in that direction. That'll preach right there and a teach. So I got in my car and literally to turn the keys in the ignition took everything in me. And I did it. Now, I wasn't being dangerous in driving. All I did was took a trip around the block. Mm-hmm. Once I could take a trip around the block, I then knew I can take a trip around two blocks, three blocks. I would then come back and fall out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But you know,
but I fought.
You have been a motivator and a team builder for a long time. You had an illustrious career. Are you still with Mary Kay?
I'm with Mary Kay Cosmetics, but I'm also with the federal government. So I do have a full-time career where I oversee teams and
in a human resource capacity, right?
No, actually it's within it's an area of government that I really keep close because of the work that I do.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't publicize it only because it just raises a lot more questions.
And that's not necessary because we already know enough about the federal government.
Yes.
But the reason why I bring that up is because of your ability to build a team, to motivate other individuals, to pour into them. That is a gift.
I love it.
That is a gift. And I know that when I was speaking from the stage, and I'm speaking, you know, now through Zoom and from the microphone, that there is a certain feeling that you get when you captivate the audience. It's a return of electricity. It's a banter back and forth because you feed off of the audience just like they are gravitating to every word that you say. What does it feel like for you when you just have, you know, everyone in the room under your spell? How do you feel?
When That is, it is really something to connect. And connecting is so important. This, that is something that Les Brown tells us all the time. And I really give him credit for the way he's mentored me in my speaking. He said, it's one thing to get up there and talk. He said, but when you can connect with your audience, he said, then you're speaking, you're sharing. You're not up there to tell them anything, but you're up there to share your story, because there are parts of your story that is going to intersect with the majority of the people that have come to hear you speak. People already have a glimpse into who you are before you even come to the stage. And he said, the whole point is to get there and get that connection. And once you start seeing the connection, you start seeing the head nods and you start seeing the fingers pointing and right. Go, I understand, mm-hmm. or the people looking to each other saying, yes, I understand. Then I realize I've made that connection, because there are just certain things that are universal. If you're going through, you want to know how I came out on the other side as well. You want to know some of the things that I did to get through what I'm doing, so that, you know, so you can hold on to some of those things to get through your challenge as well.
What is it like to build a team? It is a lot of work. It's a lot of responsibility, because they're looking to you. Like you look to Les, you know, they have something, you have something that's continuously pouring out of them. But what is mm-hmm. it to connect with a team and get them motivated and get them to move? You know, there's a mm-hmm. lot of people that'll be sitting in the room that's just jaw-jacking.
They do. The whole thing up front, I tell anyone, and I get asked this question a lot, because I have successful teams and have had decades of successful teams. Even my director called me in one day and said, what are you doing? We've purposely given you a new team every year just to see how you're going to connect with them, because mm-hmm. it's amazing that you and your team still come out on top and they're new. How do you do it? And then I said, the whole thing is transforming and humanizing the employment experience for them. I said, the minute that we understand that employees are whole people, they come to work as Nana, as mama, as daddy, as auntie, as uncle, as caregiver of their fur babies. When we realize that we are dealing with a person who is a whole person in totality, everything that they come to work with, we then have to make sure that we are available to receive them in their person and then make sure that they carry out the mission of the agency. And here's one of the things that I tell people every time they come on board. When we hired you, we said that there was no one else better than you at the time we hired you. That's your floor now. You are now here to show us and to continue interviewing for your next job. One of the things I want you to know is I am your partner in your success, if you will allow me. I said, so here's the thing. This is the expectations that I have of you. And I have a 9-page memo that I go over every team member. Go over with every team member day one when they come on board. So from day one, they know my expectations. From day one, they know that this same smile will be the one that helps develop you and move you to your next level. This is also the same one who will have those coaching conversations to let you know that this may not have been the best choice for you. What can I do to help you move on?
What happens a lot of times is when you put that much personal care into it,
a lot of companies
would say that that's coddling and that's mm-hmm. hand-holding, and we don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. But they better, because this is a new world with this DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's a whole different space. People want to be called by their pronoun. I was at a meeting the other day and they said, what's your pronoun? I was like, well, yeah, I'm we, they, then, I don't know. But you know, but it is very important. And people are not having that conversation too, because people want to be acknowledged the way that they want to be acknowledged.
They do.
Okay. And it has been so challenging after COVID. Now the great resignation, nobody wants to go back to work. There was a deep divide between Blacks and whites and Asians Mexicans. So what do you say to us to pull us together as employees in the space, not even the upper level management?
Exactly.
But how are we to have our space and our boundaries?
Yes.
Still respect people under the DEI.
Yeah. And that you just said it. Respect people. Respect. Remember, everyone's opinion is not yours, and it's okay for people to have them, but it also opens up wonderful dialogue and conversations on things that people really may have had some question about. I say, you know what? Be able to sit down and have that intelligent conversation. Mm-hmm. It's okay. For instance, when the George Floyd incident happened, I have majority non-Black team members, mm-hmm. okay? So one of the things that I had to do was pull my African-American men close and say, I'm here. If you need to talk, right. whatever you need to talk about. So you open up the space. But one of the things that I also had to do is open up the space to let people know that the pink elephant is in the room. Okay.
Right.
So I taught people how to be present with everyone. I taught them how to give space to people who may have an opinion. You may not agree with it, but here is how to hold space. And you know what most of my Caucasian employees wanted to know? How do I hold that space?
Right. I said, what do I say? Wait. One of my girlfriends told me, she says, oh my God, I'll do anything. I'll use my white privilege. I said, baby, it's not a Visa card. You can't wait.
I'll use my white privilege. That's fine.
Yeah. And you know, I said, but all you have to do is a lot of times is do nothing and be silent. But think about your responsibility. Each of us, even Black people, because you know, Black people, we can be rough. Mm-hmm. We feel that we can say whatever we want to say mm-hmm. because we've been bullied. So it can be reverse discrimination. Mm-hmm. So I just say, you know, wherever people are in their space, be a good listener. Ask mm-hmm. a person if you're not sure of their, you know, gender specifics.
Yeah.
Then ask them, you know, how should I refer to you? Don't say exactly. You're a man or a woman. You know, how do you like to be acknowledged?
And with the work that we do have to ask people that. And I tell the team members all the time, I said, just ask. How do you wish to be preferred? How do I address you?
Right.
What is the best way to do that?
What makes you feel comfortable? Open the space, warm and inviting, and let them know. And you know what? Don't be so judgmental, because there's things that are going on inside of your shell that people mm-hmm. are not aware of.
They're not.
I want to ask you some fun questions about you, some things that maybe people don't know. Okay, let's do that.
I could talk about team building all day, because that's something I absolutely love and enjoy. Anyways,
I
love building and developing teams. You know, my motto is train them up, watch them grow, let them go next. Mm.
And that's so important. There's a lot of times people want to pigeonhole you.
No,
they don't want to do that. And I've been very fortunate in my career, but I've pushed it. I push the envelope where I have said, you know, I want to learn this. I'll just mm-hmm. informational interviews. I will have a lunch. I'll pick up a book. I'll go sit and observe in a different department. You have to be proactive, brains.
You do. You really do.
So,
but I'm their partner. As long as I'm their leader, I told them I'm your partner with you. I will definitely be there with you and help you. But there's nothing that brings me more joy than when I have to do a reference. I've done like four of them. So I've just had four team members peel off. I have another two that are about to peel off. So they're about to give me a whole fresh team, because they said, your people keep being promoted. I said, I'm a developer. So as a leader, here's one of the things I did want to mention about team building. As a leader, you have to know your strength. If you do not know your strength, then you are going to be lost in your people. Because I know that my strength is that of a developer, then people know that when they come to my team, you're not going to leave the way you came.
Right.
You are going to be much better. You are going to be more strategic. You're going to be more well-rounded, so that you can go anywhere and be successful. And that's what they're doing. So when I tell, you know, my leadership, guess what? I have six people now that are about to leave my team. They are going on to new positions. They said, what are you doing? I said, what I do best. I develop. I train.
That's so important.
Yeah.
But it comes from within, you know, it comes from inside. So let's ask you some fun questions.
Okay.
All right. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, what appliance would you be and why?
That's a good one. I would be a stove. I think I would be a stove, because I like the fact that you can control the temperature. Mm. I like the fact that I can do multiple things with the stove or on the stove, or however I can warm, I can cook, I can bake, I can, you know, I can dehydrate, I can, you know, turn the heat up, I can turn the heat down. So
it would you be an electric stove or a gas stove?
I would want to be an electric stove. And I say that because that's even more controlled. The fire is fine and I'm good at looking at the embers and all of that. But I think I just have a little bit more control over the electric. Now, of course, if the power goes out, that's another story.
I know. I'd probably be a teapot because I like to spout off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that whole thing of control is what drives me with that.
What brings you the greatest joy outside of family and kids? What brings you personal joy?
This, actually what I'm doing right now, being able to share my story or a part of me with the world, this has brought me so much joy. And not only that, when people come to me and tell me one thing, and I was thinking about this on the way home in the car, and didn't realize you were going to ask that specific question, but I was thinking about a speaking engagement I did last weekend. And one of the persons put in the chat, wow, that, and they put the statement that I made. They said, that just helped me with everything that I'm going through.
Wow.
That statement right there. Now, mind you, there were 500 statements, you know, and comments, you know, in the chat regarding the conference. But when that person quoted my statement and said, this is what I needed, now I can go back and face, you know, my situation. One statement, one line.
Right.
But guess what? I shared a line that someone shared with me to help me through my issue that I was going through at the same time.
Because everything is repurposed, you know. There's nothing new under the sun. What are three things that you absolutely can't live without besides those eyelashes?
I love it. What things that I can't live without is my relationship with the Lord. It is crucial. It is powerful. One thing I can't live without is my peace and making sure that I maintain that. And another person I couldn't live without is my son.
Oh.
I'm just... my son, he's everything. He's amazing. As a matter of fact, tomorrow he's planned a trip for us for the weekend. And this is my grown baby. So I'm so excited because I'm the type like this, save your money, invest your money. You don't have to spend that much money on me. But he said, Mom, for your birthday, he said, I am taking you out of town. Wow. And so don't have your weekend planned. We have something. So I have to realize he is my grown baby now. And well, I accept it.
But you've molded him to be the man that he is.
Yeah.
That's very, very important. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food is salmon. It's salmon. I hands down, I try to say is, you know, I have a variety of them. But when I really think about it, salmon is my favorite. It really is a nice grilled salmon. Perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. I am. And my chia seed crackers that I make.
Oh, that's pretty good. You have to give me the recipe for that.
I will. Three ingredients. It's awesome.
Really? So as you look back over your life, what would you like your legacy to be?
I would love my legacy to be in leadership that I care. That I am one of those leaders that believe in cultivating authentic relationships to empower. That's that care. And I care. And that I respected an employee enough to know that it is important for me to transform and humanize their employee experience. That you cannot be on this earth working for someone, whether I have them as an employee on the job or in my personal business. I want them to know that I value them. So at the end of the day, I want people to know that I cared. And that I value them and that I love the Lord.
Well, that is a huge undertaking. And you are an amazing woman. Please share with my brains any current offerings that you have, you know, the book where we can purchase that so that they can get in contact with you.
Yes. Okay. I can be reached at LisaYvetteJones@gmail.com. Lisa Yvette, YVETTE Jones@gmail.com. I also have my website, LisaYvetteJones.com. And I can be reached telephonically 1-248-952-8122. That's 248-952-8122. I have three books, if I can show them.
Absolutely.
This one right here is Women Overcoming Through Writing. And those are those of us who wrote about what it took for us to write our story. And my title, chapter in here is Who Wants to Hear My Story? The World Does. The World Does. This is my first book that I collaborated with. And this one is Courageous Women Finding Strength During Their Storm. And we are telling stories from all areas of our life, from cancer to sex trafficking. Women have gone through, let me tell you, but we are now the people who are on the other side of what we've gone through. And that's what I really love to minister to people. And then this is our latest one, Women of the Power Voice. For those of us who were selected to be on, share the stage with Les Brown through his Power Voice Summit, we decided to come together and take all of our speeches and put them into written form. Oh, and wow. Then for this one, From Cancer to Courageous, I'm Still Here. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a testimony, brains, of tenacity, of resilience, of courage, of strength, and faith. Because yes. We walk by faith, brains, not by sight.
Not by sight. And I am available for a complimentary coaching call. I love coaching. I am passionate about coaching. I also have a master's in counseling. So I do counseling as well. But coaching, leadership coaching is my absolute love and passion. Would love to sit down with anyone for 30 minutes complimentary time with me.
Well, Brains, take advantage of it because she's on fire. I feel her passion. I feel the enthusiasm. Makes me want to go back and get a 9-to-5.
Okay.
But leadership comes in all different forms, whether you're an entrepreneur. You know, there's leadership in the home. There's leadership among your colleagues. There's leadership among teens. You know, we need to captivate and motivate the millennials to have this same kind of gumption to move forward in their life. So please take advantage of that 30-minute consultation. And I need you to love, like, and share here on The Edge with me. I need you to go in and love, like, and share for Lisa's complimentary as well as her website. Leave a comment. Tell her what you need. You know, we've brought a lot of information. But really, what is it that you need? What is going to be your snippet? What is going to be the words that you heard in this interview that are going to catapult you to the next level? That's what we want to know here on The Edge. Thank you so much, Lisa Yvette Jones, for being
here. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And I appreciate you. Come back and keep me posted and motivated.
I certainly will. And leaders, I want you to know that self-care for leaders is not selfish either. It's necessary. Keep your cup full and serve people from your overflow.
Wow. Bye, brains.